You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
If you ask a Latter-day Saint why their church exists, they'll probably say something like this: because the true church was lost and Joseph Smith restored it. It's the core of the LDS story that after the deaths of the apostles, Christianity collapsed into apostasy. They lost their authority. They needed to be rebuilt. And that's what Joseph Smith claims happened starting in 1830. But here's the irony. In trying to restore the New Testament church, Joseph Smith actually recreated the very medieval system that the reformers fought to fix. Instead of going back to the church that we read about in the book of Acts, the LDS church actually went back to the Middle Ages. They reintroduced temples and priesthoods and mediators and even a prophet who speaks for God with institutional authority. This is actually what the reformers were speaking out against, because the Catholic Church in the Dark Ages had deformed the original message that was formed and conformed in the early church. We talk about all of this in our six-week church history series. So if you missed that series, make sure to go back and check that out. In this episode, we're just simply going to compare the church that Jesus built in the New Testament with the church that Joseph Smith built in the 1800s. And we're going to see how the LDS system isn't actually a restoration like it claims to be, but instead, it's a reversal. It claims to restore what actually was never lost if you really take a look at church history. Because all through history, Jesus has always been calling people back to himself, to the simple gospel that we see in the New Testament. Go read it for yourself. In the book of Acts, we see that the church was simple and spirit-led. Believers met in homes, they broke bread, they prayed together, leadership was shared among elders and pastors. Authority, true spiritual authority, came from the Bible and from the Holy Spirit, not from some priestly lineage. In fact, the Bible says that every follower of Jesus is a priest. Go read it for yourself, 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says that the Holy Spirit indwells every single believer, not just a select few. Ephesians 2 says that the foundation of the church was the apostles and the prophets, the original eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And as we discussed in our church history series, once those eyewitness apostles died, they weren't replaced with new apostles, because any building just needs one foundation. So for example, when James was martyred in Acts chapter 12, one of the original apostles, the church didn't appoint a successor because the foundation was already laid. The early church, this is what we learn in the Bible, the early church wasn't a hierarchy, it was a fellowship of believers. It wasn't about centralized control, it was about shared faith centered on Jesus and on his word. But as the centuries went on, the church began to change. By the fourth century, especially after Constantine's conversion, Christianity went from a persecuted movement to a state institution. And this is really where things started to go sideways. Bishops gained political power. Priests became mediators between God and man. Salvation became tied to sacraments, not simple faith in Jesus. So by the Middle Ages, the church had turned into this vast priestly bureaucracy, complete with temples and tithes and a single head on earth claiming divine authority. He was called the Pope in Catholicism. But just stop and think about this if you've been involved in the LDS church. Doesn't this sound a lot like Mormonism? This is what the Reformation in the 1500s fought to reform. They tried to recover the gospel of grace and the simplicity of the early church. So Luther and Calvin and others, they weren't inventing something new. They were returning to something ancient. They wanted to strip away the layers of man-made authority and bring people back to Christ alone, grace alone, Scripture alone. Now, jump ahead to the year 1830. Joseph Smith's story begins with his claim that all churches had gone astray. According to his first vision, every denomination was wrong, and their creeds were an abomination. So God told him, supposedly, that all authority had been lost and that he was chosen to restore it. But look closely at what he built. Number one, a priesthood authority with layers of power and office: Aaronic, Melchizedek, bishops, elders, high priests, apostles. Number two, centralized headquarters claiming exclusive authority over salvation and ordinances. Number three, a temple-based system of ritual, proxy work, sacred intermediaries. Number four, a prophet president who speaks for God with the same authority, in fact, more authority essentially, than scripture itself, the Bible itself. Does this sound familiar? That's not the church that we see in the book of Acts. That's the medieval Catholic system reborn. Where Jesus tore the veil in two, Mormonism stitched it back together. Where the apostles taught one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, the LDS church reintroduced a hierarchy of mediators, prophets, priests, ordinances required to access grace. The gospel that we see in the Bible, the simple gospel, just simply said, it is finished. Mormonism says, it's begun, now you have to do your part. And just like the medieval popes, Joseph Smith claimed unique divine authority. He said that all churches lacked proper priesthood. He said that baptisms in other churches are invalid, that worship in other churches is powerless, that you have to come to the one true church. Sound familiar? That's what Catholics said as well for 1,000 years. For Mormons, just like the Catholics, it was all about who holds the keys to the kingdom. In Mormon thought, truth doesn't rest on the Bible's witness, but on institutional succession, which is exactly the message of the Catholic Church in the Dark Ages. But remember, the Bible says something completely different. The Bible says the Holy Spirit empowers the church, not human hierarchy. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God for salvation, not some institution or some leaders in the institution. The Bible says the authority of the apostles lives on through their teaching, not through a priestly chain of succession. So again, the Reformation exposed that same problem in Catholicism. Luther stood against the idea that salvation flowed through one earthly church. Luther wrote, "The true church is known wherever the word of God is preached." So what does church history tell us? The LDS church simply revived the same error of the Catholic Church in the Dark Ages. They just swapped Rome for Salt Lake City. Now, let's talk about the most striking irony of all. It's the LDS temple system. Why? Why is this so ironic? Because it claims to restore ancient worship. But biblically, the temple system is the thing that Jesus explicitly ended. So here's the irony. The Mormon church didn't just restore the brokenness of the medieval Catholic Church, it actually restores the Old Testament Jewish system that Jesus came to fulfill. Let's walk through it. In the Old Testament, the temple was where priests mediated between God and people. Sacrifices covered sin. God's presence dwelled behind a curtain. But when Jesus died, the curtain in the sanctuary was torn in two. The message was clear. God's presence is no longer restricted. Access to him is open to all through Jesus. That's why the early church never built temples. Instead, the apostles taught this, Ephesians 2, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. The people of God together are the temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in individual believers. The Holy Spirit is no longer restricted to a building like we saw in the Old Testament. Now, compare that with LDS theology today. They build Mormon temples all around the world, and that's where you'll find special clergy and priesthoods. You'll find restricted access and sacred ordinances for salvation. You'll find proxy rituals on behalf of the dead and covenants necessary to reach the celestial kingdom. This looks far more like ancient Israel or even medieval Catholicism than the book of Acts. It reintroduces a system of mediation and ritual that the cross in the Bible clearly has made obsolete. The New Testament says it plainly like this: there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. But Mormonism inserts a long chain of mediators, prophets, priests, ordinances, temples, covenants, where the New Testament says Jesus finished the work. Mormonism says the work has only begun and can only be accessed in a temple. So this is where the historical irony shows up. Joseph Smith claimed to restore the early church, but he restored one of the things that the early church never even had, the temple system, a centralized, ritualized system where spiritual power flows through a priesthood, sacred buildings, exclusive rites, ordinances that are required for salvation, all of the things that the Catholic Church itself had reintroduced and the Reformers tried hard to remove. The letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament explains why Jesus ended temple worship. It repeats the same message in multiple ways. Jesus is the final high priest. Jesus is the final sacrifice. Jesus fulfills the temple. And because of this, the old system is obsolete. If you're still a part of Mormonism, maybe you're listening to this episode because you're considering whether Mormonism truly is from God, like Joseph Smith claimed, I really challenge you to read the book of Hebrews, and you will see that the temple system of Mormonism is not a restoration of New Testament Christianity. It is reverting back to Old Testament Mosaic law. The early Christians never performed proxy work for the dead. They never restricted worship to certain buildings. They never taught that ordinances were needed to reach the highest heaven. They never repeated oaths or covenants in sacred rooms. Instead, the New Testament teaches every believer is a priest. Every believer has full access to God. Every believer is sealed by the Spirit, not by some ceremony. And every believer, in a corporate sense, through the church, is the new temple of God. That's why Mormonism's temple system isn't a restoration. It's a reversal of the gospel that we see in the Bible. The real restoration is Jesus himself. The LDS Church says everything was lost and needed to be restored, but Scripture says that Christ accomplished something that can never be undone. Jesus didn't restore the old temple, he replaced it. Jesus didn't renew the Aaronic priesthood, he ended it forever. Jesus didn't rebuild the veil, he tore it. No prophet, no institution, no temple ceremony can sew it back up. The early New Testament church lived in the freedom of that reality. Mormonism pulls believers back into a world of priests and temples and mediators and rituals, the very system Jesus fulfilled and the Reformers worked to correct. Now, before we close, I want to connect an important thread from our church history series, a thread that runs straight through every genuine renewal movement in Christian history. Mormonism is not a genuine renewal movement, but if you study church history, you will see that there were many genuine movements where Jesus called people back to his gospel and to the Bible and to the simplicity of New Testament Christianity. Whether we're talking about the pre-reformers like the Hussites, or the historical reformers like the Lutherans, or the radical reformers like the Anabaptists, the Puritans, or the Moravians, these movements essentially all began the same way. Not with a prophet claiming new revelation, not with a priesthood claiming exclusive authority, not with a hierarchy trying to rebuild the church from the top down. No, these real renewal movements began with ordinary believers. I want you to hear this. Ordinary believers opening the Bible again and rediscovering the gospel that institutions had buried under layers of ritual, politics, and control. Every time the church drifted, God revived it through people who simply returned to the Bible and who let God's word speak for itself. And this is why Mormonism's restoration claim is so ironic, because while it says the church was lost and needed to be rebuilt, the actual pattern of history shows the opposite. The gospel isn't found by adding new structures or new prophets, but instead it's found by going back to the same old message, the message that Jesus preaches in the New Testament, that the early church preached in the book of Acts, and that we see all through the rest of the New Testament and even in the Old Testament. So real quickly, let's walk through that pattern in history and let's see what it teaches us about the difference between biblical renewal and the LDS concept of restoration. Let's start with the Hussites. A century before Luther, John Huss stood up in Prague and said, "The Bible is the supreme authority for the church." He preached in the local language. He called for moral reform. He gave ordinary believers access to scripture. And when the church, the Catholic Church, burned him alive, the Hussites, his followers, kept reading the Bible for themselves. Their whole movement began with people opening the Bible, not with a new prophet or a new priesthood. Fast forward 100 years, when Luther opened Romans. Remember, Luther was a Catholic priest, but he had access to the Bible. And when he read it, he didn't find a new doctrine. He found the old doctrine that the church had buried. Romans 1:17, "The righteous will live by faith." So when he posted his 95 theses onto the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany, he wasn't adding revelation. He was removing the institutional fog and he was letting the Bible speak with its own authority. And then he started working on a German translation of the Bible so that regular people could read the Bible for themselves. The Reformation wasn't a new hierarchy. It was a return to the Bible and the simple gospel that you find in it. And think about the Anabaptists. This is this small radical group that started reading the New Testament for themselves with fresh eyes, and they realized that baptism should follow belief. That's why they were called the Anabaptists, the rebaptizers. They were the first group to really start teaching adult baptism, because the church is voluntary. It's not some state thing. And the conscience belongs to God alone. So that means the institution cannot control faith, whether the institution is the church or the state. And for this, the Anabaptists were persecuted, actually by both Catholics and Protestants, but their movement grew because it rested on the Bible, not on institutional power. They didn't restore a new church. Once again, they just rediscovered the church that we read about in the book of Acts. Fast forward another 100 years and we see the Puritans. These guys were a group of believers in the Church of England, and they said, "Wait a second, the Anglican church looks nothing like the book of Acts." So what did they do? They just went back to the Bible. They wanted preaching instead of ceremony. They wanted conversion, genuine conversion, instead of cultural religion. They wanted holiness instead of compromise. And when kings demanded conformity in England, the Puritans obeyed God instead of men. Why? Because they were following the Bible, the simple message of the Bible. They weren't following institutions or hierarchies. And one more group, how about the Moravians? This was two centuries after John Huss. His spiritual descendants, the Hussites, eventually became the Moravians, and they gathered around the Bible once again. They prayed, they worshiped together, they studied the Bible together, and revival broke out in 1727. They didn't create a new priesthood. They didn't build a new temple. They just simply formed a community shaped by the Bible and by the Holy Spirit, and they launched the first Protestant missionary movement. This small group of believers actually impacted generations of denominational believers, and all of it simply started with reading the Bible. The pattern in history is undeniable. In every single case of real renewal, there was no new prophet, there was no new priesthood, there was no new temple, There was no restored hierarchy. There were no extra books, just simply ordinary believers opening the Bible and discovering again the finished work of Jesus. This is the pattern of Christian history. This is how God genuinely revives his people. This is how the true church is renewed. And this is what makes Mormonism's restoration story so ironic, because Mormonism doesn't follow the biblical pattern of renewal. It follows the medieval pattern of adding back the very structure the gospel sets us free from. Just go back to the cross. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," the temple was replaced by a person. The new covenant was the true restoration, a restoration of access, of grace, a direct relationship with God that could be enjoyed and experienced by any individual believer who comes to him by faith. Mormonism teaches that the gospel was lost, but history teaches that the gospel can never be lost. Jesus himself promised, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Friends, I want you to hear this. The early church was never lost. Christ never stopped building it. The Holy Spirit never left. The gospel never disappeared. Mormonism's restoration isn't a recovery of the gospel. It's a reversal. It's a return to the broken, dead, institutional religion of Catholicism and even Old Testament Judaism. And it doesn't lead to freedom and salvation. It actually leads to bondage. Study history for yourself. Read the Bible for yourself. And when you encounter the gospel there, you will understand Jesus' words from John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.